Well, thank you, Jonathan. When that graduation group went marching in, I think we're going to get that music. We'll get a little more pep around here. I wasn't sure about what Brother Case was playing a joke on him when he first started there. But boy, that is a good report, isn't it? Tremendous. And what he's saying to you is that they're trying to get the Landmark College going over there, because a lot of them can't come over here, but they do the same thing. They didn't repeat it over there for us, and within certain limits, of course. But his real burden right now is they're needing 5 acres of land to build the college on. And 5 acres of land he can get over there for $25,000. We couldn't even get that at that price here. But that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money for them and for the area and for all they're doing. Now, we give a lot to missions, and we, for the last several years, we've had a real panic on trying to make our goal, and by the grace of God, we have made it. We're running behind again for the time of year that it is. And what I'd like for you to consider doing, I've thought about it. I want to help Jonathan get this land. We can't do the whole thing. We spread too thin with too many and too much. But if you'd like to have a part in it, I want you to listen to me now, Landmark member. Mark something on your envelope to Jonathan. You can write Ghana College, something on it to identify it so the bookkeepers can straighten it out and know what it went to. In the next few weeks, let's do something special, every one of us, toward that. I'm also going to help Jonathan write a letter to other preachers that have sent him some support and try to encourage them to also do what I'm asking you to do, and that is give something extra to help get this done. Folks, we invest in a lot of things, but heaven's going to reveal what the real investment was. And I believe with all my heart what you've heard from these two men tonight is close to the heart of God. With all the trouble in the world, CBS and NBC is not going to pick up on what these missionaries told you tonight. Now, that's not going to get on the big screen, but it's on God's screen. And he knows what's going on and what's important. And I want to challenge you, let's have a part in it. Mark it for Jonathan. Mark it for the Landmark College mission in Ghana. Whatever you want to do, put something on it. And if you have to sacrifice a little bit to do it, most of us won't. Most of us can do it out of surplus, so to speak. But I want you to do that. And then I'm going to try to write a letter to go along with Jonathan's letter to his other supporting churches, and he don't have many. He went back over there very quickly after he graduated college. I didn't spend much time on what we call deputation, because that cost a lot of money to travel around and go to churches and make your presentation. And when you do that, sometimes you get a decent love gift, and sometimes you don't get your gas money that it took you to get there. I know how it works, and most of you do. So anyway, I want you to also pray for these men. Would you do that? Hope you'll pray for them. And they're just doing a great job. And again, that's what missions is all about, just what you heard and what you saw tonight. All right, I'm going to spend the next 15 minutes, if you listen fast, on answering a little question that somebody raised. And this is not something deep. This is not profound. In fact, it's almost in Christian circles not even worthwhile, but if it's in the Bible, it's worthwhile. Amen. And so I'm going to speak to you tonight out of one verse. I'm going to take, I could take some more, but I'll take one verse out of the book of Leviticus chapter 19. And when I read the verse, you're going to know what I'm talking about, I think. Leviticus chapter 19, and let me say this before I even introduce it. I've got no axe to grind about this. I'm not persecuting anybody in particular. before I get through with it, I'll tell you this doesn't have anything to do with getting anybody saved or preventing them from being saved. But after we're saved, we ought to be a little bit concerned about what we do fit in the Bible, amen, in our Christian life. So you'll spot it as soon as I read it to you. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28. Verse 28, "You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord." I'm going to talk to you a little bit about tattoos. Now, the verse there tells us not to do that. You say, well, that's Old Testament, that's Jews, I understand that. But you know, God didn't change his mind about what he thought was in taste, you know, what he liked and didn't like. Just because you go from law to grace don't mean God don't still have some favorite things he'd like for us to do and not do. Amen? So I'm going to talk to you about it just a little bit. I've had some questions on it. This deals also not just with tattoos, but with body piercings. And I may get to it in a minute, but I have personally dealt with some young people, and oftentimes it is young people, that cut themselves and almost don't know why they're doing it and can't stop it. I mean, it's an amazing thing. I remember a pretty young lady in our Christian school, because her parents brought her to Christian school, but she was cutting herself, getting pretty bloody with it. And I said, why? And she really could not give me an answer. Now, the devil gets into stuff like that. He's into that. The maniac of Gadara cut himself too, remember? You remember the story in the Bible? Anyway, let me just briefly for a few minutes hit this. Here's the trouble. Christians follow world trends instead of following the Bible. So much. And you got to be careful about it. Now, not just tattoos or piercings, but a lot of trends that aren't really a good testimony for the Lord. Amen? Now, tattoos and piercings and stuff's not new. Evidence goes back a long, long time. The archaeologists can tell you, and historians can tell you. The motives used to be, in the old days, a lot of times a tattoo was put on to mark ownership. Might be on a slave, might be on a prostitute, or it might be to identify a criminal. Had a mark put on them. And there's a fellow known in history by the Iceman. Now, he was a fellow that apparently, well, at least he was preserved in ice. I don't know where he froze to death or not. But they dug him out of ice about, they think, as much as 5,000 years ago. And that far back, they discovered, now he was preserved like ice will do you. And they even got woolly mammoths, by the way, on mountaintops, identifying Noah's flood, by the way. How'd they get up there? Anyway. This Iceman had 61 tattoos on him way back then, if they were right on their dating. There were some cases of nobility in Rome and places, but by the way, you got to remember that was pagan stuff. That was pagan stuff. And the Romans even had a whole tribe named Peyote. That was the word, though, for painted pictures. That reminds me of New York Square. You been seeing any news? The topless women with nothing but paint on, walking around in the daytime up there in New York Square. Anybody see any news? 3, 4, 5, 6 hands. Okay. Now, by the way, that shows us how low we've gotten in America. When they're pulling off the clothes, painting themselves up, and walking down Main Street in the biggest city. Awful mess that we're in. Talk about paganism, brother. Talk about heathenism. That's it. But early Christianity condemned that stuff. For instance, Constantine, when he came to the throne of Rome, or became the emperor of Rome about 303 BC. We date that back to when he brought in what we can say the founding pretty much of Catholicism, grew into Catholicism. But Constantine, when he won the battle and when Christianity began to be acceptable in Rome and finally become the dominant religion, up to that time they were throwing Christians to the lions. You remember that? But when Constantine came to the throne, he thought God had helped him conquer. And so he done some good and some bad. But one of the good things he did was he outlawed tattooing in the empire. He saw it as a bad thing. That was the early days of Christianity. Now, the early Christians condemned it on this basis, and this is somewhat logical. They said, don't mar the image of God. We are made, we are created in the image of God. And so their thinking was that was a good reason, one of the reasons behind it, not to disfigure God's image. Now, also, it was associated with darkness, with evil. Oftentimes, what was tattooed was serpents and dragons and bad stuff, and it was more or less under the umbrella we'd call of witchcraft. And in fact, it still is in a lot of places in the world today. Mostly the heathen, and they did use the paint, and they had paint and all the ink and all the stuff that we have to a great degree back then. But a lot of times their cutting the flesh was to cut so that when the scar grew back, it was always there. You couldn't remove the scar, and so they could, as it were, make a picture out of scars, or sort of like branding a cow, I guess you'd say. It was always be there. And so all of that business goes back a long ways, and it goes back into witchcraft. Maybe a name that you'd recognize. I wrote it somewhere here, if I can pick it up. Laura Cabot. She's a well-known publicized witchcraft thing. And she said that tattooing began in the black magic. And she is, or was, whether she's got out of it or not, she knows what she's talking about. It goes back to that. Many of you recognize the name Rolling Stones, Rolling Stone magazine. They actually had an article in there how that, what's his name, Paul Booth, I guess it was, is the one that's famous for doing tattoos and drawings. He said that when he started using the needle on somebody to make a tattoo, that he got help from the demons, that they would take the needle and move it for him. Now, that was his story. But I think that sort of stuff is more pleasing to the devil than it is to God. And so that's why we ought to just take the Bible at face value and let it alone. Stay away from it. Amen. By the way, there's all kind of health dangers in it, too. In a day when AIDS is being spread, somebody's a fool to be going around trusting somebody to have a clean needle poking in their skin. You got AIDS, you got hepatitis C, you got all kind of things that come from dirty needles. And it's also a lot of people, different people, I don't know, some have easier to bleed than others, but every now and then somebody actually has to go to the hospital to keep from bleeding to death because they got on the tattoo thing. So all of that is that's some human reasons not to do it. Truth of the matter is, somehow or another, the devil's into the cutting business. I told you about the young girl that just had to almost tie her own hands to keep from cutting herself. That's a sad thing. I went to their home, tried to help them, prayed with her and all that, and it was an amazing thing. Right behind me here, Brother Azawar, y'all living in that house. have you heard the devil demon story about it? I can't tell it all. I don't have time. But it led to the police calling me one night about 1 a.m. to help them get a guy out of that house. His wife had already run out and left him. He'd gone crazy acting. All he had on, well, he didn't have on nothing when I got there. And the police were outside on loudspeakers hollering at him, but they wouldn't go in. They wanted the preacher to go in. Truth. And he broke the glass in the windows and the glass door with his hands. And he was taking the glass and he was cutting himself. He had the lights on in the house. You could see. You could see the blood dripping off of him. Cutting himself up and talking to an invisible person to me. But he had a partner in there that he was talking to. He was fully demon possessed. He got into a bunch of stuff in Vietnam and brought it home with him. The thing that impressed me so much was how he kept cutting himself. And he actually bled, I thought, pretty weak. We finally, shortening up the story, finally got him out of the place and got him to the hospital. But on the way to the hospital, he attacked me and my assistant pastor. And even though he'd bled that much and was not as big as me, he was stronger than me. And he really had some demon power. That thing would come on him and then it would go off of him. And we got him to the hospital, finally, in Winter Haven. This hospital here wouldn't take him. We got our truth. And we got him over there, and they strapped him to a table. But they didn't strap his arms. They strapped him across the middle in the emergency room. And a big intern came in there, and two or three nurses, and a doctor. And he got him one intern in one hand and one in the other, and he just pounded him. Truth, he was so strong. Little guy compared speaking. They finally put a shot in his arm and knocked him out. I went over the next day to see him, and they had him in the psychiatric ward. And I went in there, talked with him a minute, and he was scarred up. He was no longer bleeding. But he said, "Who cut me up like this?" And his name was Ron. I said, "Ron, you cut yourself." He didn't seem to know that. And his partner, he had a name. I'm going to say Clarence, but I can't remember if it was Clarence or what. But he had a partner, invisible partner, that he talked to while he was in the house. When I was trying to talk him out of the house, he talked to Clarence. He said, "Don't come in the door, preacher. Clarence has got a gun, and he'll blow both of us away." Clarence wasn't in there, or at least not visible. The next day at the hospital, I visited with him, prayed with him, thought, well, he's going to be all right. I got up to leave. He said, "Preacher, what'd they do with Clarence?" I sighed. It was time to leave. I've done all that guy could do. The truth of the matter is, demons are into the business of cutting yourselves. No wonder God forbids it. So, say, "Well, preacher, what am I going to do? I got a tattoo." Well, I've known some folks that got some that was pretty ugly. And they were embarrassed later and wore long sleeves or something to keep from showing. Now, some drunk sailors got homesick for mama and went into the tattoo place and had mother tattooed on the arm. It's still... don't justify it. I understand that. So I'd say, especially the young people, don't get into that stuff. Just don't get in. It's moved now to where ladies are ladies. I might have used the wrong word. Females think it's cute to tattoo hidden parts of their body. I'll say this carefully, but there's a couple that were dating. And they were going to get married. And they each had a tattoo of the other one's name on them. On their rears. But then they broke up. And didn't get married. Well, that created a situation, didn't it? Now, I'm having a little fun with that. But it is... in the Bible. It wouldn't be in the Bible. if we shouldn't pay it some attention. No, you can get saved. Tattoo won't keep you from getting saved. And when you get saved, it won't remove a tattoo. That's a good picture of what sin does. The scar, even though you get the sin forgiven, the scar lasts a long time. And that's best just not to get involved if you inhabit it. God's grace, thank God for his grace. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Thank God for all of that truth. But the truth of the matter is, once you get saved, y'all want to see what